Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Right next to him, I was talking about what his number one goal is as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. We welcome SNY. And hi, SNY. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, SNY.
As always, from 4 to 6. And he said his number one goal. Now, remember, Jerry Jones is 83 years old.
Is he that old?
Yep. 83. Yep. Wow. 83 years old. Jerry Jones said his number one goal is to die with the most Super Bowl wins of any owner in football. Okay, so let's just go through that real quick. He's got three.
Three.
And Robert Kraft has six.
Yep.
So let's say that good old Jerry Jones has 10 more years, which would be a great run.
Great.
Okay?
Run.
In the next 10 years, he's got to win four, and the Patriots got to win zero. It's the only way that happens.
Yep.
And how many Super Bowls have the Cowboys won in the last 30 years?
Zero.
That'd be zero. Correct, Bob.
Zero.
Points for you. So I think it's time that maybe he hands the reins of the football team over to Steven or another family member because he now has dementia. That, I mean, foolproof.
And I was watching that clip.
Like, what are you talking about?
Sure, I'm not sure he knew it was that many. I'm not sure he realized
that
he was
that many behind.
Off. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, how many is Bob at? He's like, well, six. Well, I got some work to do. Yes. Yes, you do, Jerry.
Yeah.
Poor Jerry.
But by the way, if the Dallas Cowboys fired Schottenheimer, would they be a threat to you for Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Would you, how would
if
you rank
fired
the threat?
Him today.
Yes.
And then every bit of reporting that came out said Jerry Jones,
wants.
You know, at the end of his life here, is desperate to bring in the best coach in the NFL. And he's going to go try and get Harbaugh. Yes.
Yeah. By the way, I should also mention before I get back to your calls real quick that my partner, Big Mac himself, now has a Giants source that nobody else has.
That is true.
Do you want to share that story with us?
Yes.
How you have an inside now that I don't have, Boomer doesn't have, Gio doesn't have, even the great Tiki Barber doesn't have, Evan doesn't have it. Yeah. What's your new Giants source, buddy?
Yeah, so today was picture day for us. Many people don't know that behind the scenes. We took some pictures.
Oh, for me and you.
For me and you.
Yeah, that's right.
Picture day.
That's right.
It was nice.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure I had something nice to wear. It wasn't feeling it when I got dressed.
It's a lovely button-down shirt.
I like it, yeah.
A little lumberjacky.
So
like it.
I went where everybody my size goes, Casual Male XL.
That's a store?
That's a store for big plus people. Yes.
Okay,
and
I got
you. You know what's great about shopping there? Honestly,
you're amongst your people.
I'm amongst my people,
yeah,
one.
No one shames
you. Is going to get to the part of the story. But no, I'm actually, believe it or not, and I know people are going to be floored by this, I'm on the smaller end.
I love it.
The 2XLs.
So you're like the hot stud
like,
walking
I walk in. There, I'm like, I only have to go
count.
To the 2XL in this store. It's
you're
nice.
Like, no one makes an Ozempic joke in that store.
Yeah, right, I'm going through 6XL, 4XL. No. Who's they making this for? Anyway, I'm waiting there for the place to open up because I want to make sure
it's
I get
like, pardon me, it's like the old Thornton Mellon rule.
Yeah.
If you want to look thin, hang around without people.
No.
Yeah.
So I go there and everything's draping off the hangers, and I'm like, good God, no, I don't need that one.
It's
just normal. XL works here.
Go ahead.
But so I'm sitting there, and so I'm waiting outside the building for them to open up right at 10 o'clock, and standing there right next to me with two young kids, a baby and a little girl, is Carmine Brasello, the offensive line coach of the New York Giants.
Look at that.
As he and I both share the unfortunate nature of having to shop.
You're big guys.
We're big guys.
So do you recognize him as the offensive line coach?
Without question,
you
recognize
did.
Him.
Got it.
And he's also wearing the Bill Belichick Giants short sleeve hoodie.
Oh,
so I,
So he's promoting the fact that he's a Giants coach.
He was wearing a Giants hoodie,
no doubt. Got it.
And I went up to him, and I think he was happy to be recognized, quite honestly.
Because how often does it happen?
It's nice. It's always nice. So I was talking with him in the in the jeans section of Casual Male XL. It was a nice conversation. It was good to see him. Just ironic that I ran into the offensive line coach of the New York Giants buying jeans.
Is he coming back?
He didn't tell me that. He's hopeful. He's hopeful.
Okay.
He's hopeful.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
You just said something interesting. You went there to buy the shirt. And by the way, great flannel shirt.
Yeah, I like it.
And it looked great in pictures.
I hope so.
But you met him in the jeans section.
I was buying jeans, too.
Ah.
Well, when you go
bought the
there,
whole outfit.
When you go there, well, I bought a couple of jeans.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, Craig, I've been working at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been wearing
sweats.
I've been wearing sweatpants to work for the last 2.5 years. So it's time for a little bit of a new wardrobe. But I mean, I bought some stuff for the new wardrobe. But I just felt like while I was there, I'd pick up some jeans. But we were standing there.
What a great moment for two big fellas.
Two big fellas.
To have that connection.
Yep.
And he was
excited for me.
Here's my real question. Because maybe he knew who you were, maybe not.
He did not.
He certainly knows WFAN, I'm sure. Did you trade phone numbers or emails?
We exchange phone numbers.
You got a source.
I got a source.
So everything that Big Mac says now about the Giants has been fully sourced.
But yeah, we talked a little bit about the offensive line, talked a little bit about him. He's kind of in a holding pattern.
I think the whole coaching staff is.
Of course. I think he did a great job. And the Giants whoever's coming in, the Giants would be smart to keep him. For the first time in forever, I felt like the Giants had a competent offensive line.
What do I tell you this? I've never met the man.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Could not have been a nicer guy.
But I do have sources in the NFL with the New York Giants.
Really?
I've been told, that the Giants have made a decision that he is coming back.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's how good of a job he did.
He did a very good job.
Yeah.
But I was told this morning that I can't speak to the other coaches, I don't know, but it's just funny that you told me that story because I was told this morning that the Giants have let him know he ain't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
So now you're best friend with the New York Giants.
We're good buddies.
And your big clothes shopping buddy.
Big clothes shopping buddy.
Yeah. By the way, that's a great thing to bond over. Like, I've always thought, like, when hot girls go to Victoria's Secret to try on bras and stuff, that's a bonding experience right there. They make friends. They talk to each other. They Instagram each other. You now have that with Carmine Scarpetta.
Yeah.
So all good. How about that?
I was getting ready for picture day, and he was going on vacation. And we were both in a rush. We got there at 10 o'clock, sitting there waiting for the trough.
So now what was he shopping for?
I just told you.
No, no, he's going shirts, on shorts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Think a guy like that goes on a cruise probably because there's a buffet.
Yeah, I think he said Disney, but I'm not sure. I don't want to, But
the worst place on earth.
Oh, it's the best, Craig.
Ugh.
Disney's the best.
You know that Disney has a rule? No one's allowed to die at Disney.
Well, it's unfortunate because multiple people have in the last year.
But do you know that? They have a rule that they move the bodies off the property. No one's allowed to die at Disney. True story.
What do you mean not allowed to die?
Nobody is allowed to die at Disney. It's a corporate rule that if someone dies on the property, they move that body off the property.
All right, so the
dead body's not on property.
Right, so dead bodies aren't allowed to linger on property.
But you're not allowed to die. Like the story is that you don't die at Disney. You can't. You're not allowed.
Okay.
It's not like if you fall out of the...
Unfortunately, I hate to joke about this, but it's been a weird... In the last 6 months, I think it's been about 3 people who've died.
No, but not at Disney. Like they moved them to Epcot.
Well, Epcot is Disney. Yeah.
It is?
Yes.
They must have changed the rule then.
Yeah, maybe.
See?
They allow
know
it
that.
Just for Epcot.
Did you see that woman get off the teacup ride the other day?
No.
Oh, she was pissed. The teacup ride, which is the... where they sing, this world is my world and your world, all the worlds.
What's it called? It's a small world after all.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, that's a little boat ride.
Yeah, the little small world after all boat ride.
Yeah.
It got stuck, and some girl, lady, clearly from New Jersey or Staten Island, was like, F this, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And she grabbed her kids and got out of the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't dealing with this crap.
I was on the, me and the kids and the family were on the... Star Wars ride when it broke down mid-ride and we had to walk off.
That's not good. Disney's an awful place. It's an awful place for children.
It's the greatest place on earth.
Okay, enjoy that.
Thank you.
I know adults that go there without kids.
I know.
I get that. You drink, you have a good time, do some drugs,
absolutely.
Whatever it is. But when you bring kids to Disney, it's the most awful experience of a lifetime. There's nothing good that comes out of, Daddy, I want to go to the princess breakfast. I want to meet the princess. Shut up.
That's exactly how it goes.
I know that's how it goes. It sucks. Yeah. All right, here's Ronnie in Staten Island. Ronnie, what's going on today, Cookie?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
Yep.
Good evening.
First, I want to say I'm a huge fan, Craig. Huge fan, man. I've been listening to you for over 20 years, man. Oh,
thank you so much.
Two points I just want to make real quick. You was asking about Glenn. Why should he stay as head coach? I give you one reason. For the reason why they hired him, because he went through the same thing in Detroit, and so he knows what it takes to rebuild his team and get it on the right track. Number two, I wanted to say something about the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it's been in place for over 20 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So I was wondering, what are besides the Giants, are there any other teams who haven't ever hired a black coach since the Rooney Rule's been in place? Because I'm wondering, what are the penalties for? Is there any type of penalties or any type of consequences for these guys just having sham interviews with guys?
No, it's a great question, by the way, Ron. When the Rooney Rule first came out, I was in favor of it because it was obvious, 20-some odd years ago, that minority candidates were not getting even interviews. And obviously there's quality, very bright men who played football, no football, who were very deserving of opportunities. They didn't get it. So I thought the spirit of the Rooney Rule was a very smart one and a good one. And it has resulted in a lot of African-American men getting opportunities to be head coaches, to be coordinators, GMs, all that stuff, right? Then it became a situation for me where I think it became somewhat, I don't know what the right word is. I think somewhat embarrassing for some of the candidates who you knew full well were only being interviewed because the team had to satisfy the Rooney Rule. And that's not what the rule's put in for. Now, there are a lot of guys who've told you that they weren't ready yet to be head coaches, but the experience of being interviewed because of the Rooney Rule made them more prepared the next time around. So there is value to it. I do think we've gotten to a place where a lot of the black candidates or minority candidates that are interviewed have no shot at getting the job. And I find that to be troubling.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point, there is experience from it. Like, I think the Giants are going to interview their former linebacker, Antonio Pierce. I don't think there's really any chance that Antonio Pierce is going to get the job. Right? I mean, do you think Antonio
Pierce... He has no chance of getting the job.
But does that mean he shouldn't bother to take the interview and gain the experience?
I think he talked to the Giants
and have someone in that room that might be... Joe Shane might be in another organization next year and is really impressed with the interview that Antonio Pierce
gives. The reason you take the interview nowadays, the way I look at it, is because, the NFL is a lot of copycat, right? So if a team, let's say Giants, doesn't matter what the team is, it's relevant. If a team announces that they're going to bring in Joe Blow, a black candidate, for head coach. Mm-hmm. That makes every other team say to themselves, wait a minute, should we be interviewing that guy also? So I think there's a benefit from that. Antonio Pierce has to know in his heart he is not getting the New York Giants job. Not say he's not worthy of it or deserving of it. He had a small cup of coffee with Vegas. It wasn't great. Had some good moments, but not enough. He's obviously still getting paid by the Raiders like $8 million. So I think he wants to keep his name afloat.
Sure.
So that other teams remember, hey, what about Antonio Pierce?
Who got interviewed last coaching cycle.
If that's all he gets out of the Giants interview, then it was smart for him to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there is benefit.
Yeah. No, I understand your point, but I do think there are benefits. And there is keeping your name involved. And there is just the, you never know who's going to be in a different room next year. You never know who you can impress. You never know what you can gain. I'm putting Gain and Garner together in one.
It's okay. Well, don't do that again.
You never know what you gain in experience-wise by just being in an interview room.
So according to an article from February earlier this year, 11 NFL teams, and this does not include interim coaches, 11 NFL teams have never had a black head coach. So a third
NFL
of the league has never employed an African-American man to be their head coach. They're interim guys, but not as a full-time head coach.
Okay.
The Giants happen to be one of those teams. And it was interesting, when Mike McDaniel got hired, that counted as a minority hire. Did you know that? You didn't know that. How about that? Did you know that?
You didn't know that either. No.
Yeah, true story.
I feel like I remember there was a story, but no, I don't.
Yep.
I'm not positive.
That is a true story. Yep. mean, because it wouldn't look like it, right? It's like Isaiah Hartenstein. He's black. You wouldn't know that.
No.
But he is. How about that?
How about that?
Changed his relationship with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. Did you know that?
No, did it really?
They both admitted it. They said, now that we know you're black, we're not even going to shake your hand. We're going to dap you up. That's what they said. They said it changes everything. He's like, what are you guys talking about?
That is,
I think they were teasing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess his dad was stationed in Germany, I think. He was a military man, happened to be black. And while he doesn't appear, he is black. There you go.
Yeah.
Amazing. And none of the guys on the Knicks even knew it.
Yeah.
Before he got traded.
I had heard that about Hartenstein.
Yeah. So there you go. Here's Sean in Carolina. Sean, what's going on, Cookie?
What's up, Craig? Man, glad to hear you back, man. Thank Best you. Show on radio already since Mike and the Mad Dog. I've been listening for 30 years, man.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
You guys really have good chemistry.
Days in.
Oh, already the best show, man. 30 years I've been listening.
By the way,
serious.
I have to say
anyway,
this. I happen to agree.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you.
But, what do you got?
Listen, I just want to know why. What's the best assets the Giants have? It's the young players. Bring them into the building when Harbaugh's there. Call it a while. They're in there working out. They're getting treatment. Let them go down and talk to these kids. Their exuberance, their enthusiasm. You think he wants to go work with Jalen Hurts, who always looks like he wants to punch somebody in the face? You know, or go up to Buffalo and he has to win right away? Nah,
yes.
He's got a few years here. Let him talk to these kids. It's the best assets.
I would tell you this. I think having, you know, the youthful exuberance of a Scataboo and a Jackson Dart is great and a selling point, and Ed Malik Nabers that as well, of course. But you're totally misguided to say that a top-level coaching candidate would not want to go coach Jalen Hurts and that Eagle roster or be the head coach with a Josh Allen as quarterback. Come on. Let's be honest. Let's not lie to each other.
Can I push back on the Josh Allen one a
Please,
little bit?
Please, go ahead.
Okay. Obviously, it's a great job. Obviously, Josh Allen's an incredible football player, and you have a better chance to go win with them than you do with the New York Giants. I'm not going to argue that. But he is a bit of a program builder, and I just wonder if he would want to step in to a building and a team that is ready-made, it's got Josh Allen, you're going to get no credit for building up the team. Now, you win, obviously. You're a champion.
Yeah.
But you step right in with instant expectations of you have to be the reason they get to a Super Bowl, you have to be the reason they go win, as opposed to coming to the New York Giants, where you can be the everything of the organization, build it up from scratch, and do what you do. And keep that reputation of, I went to Buffalo and won with the great quarterback where McDermott couldn't. Or I go to the New York Giants and resurrect the franchise that is...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Been in the doldrums for 10 years and built another program that sustained well after I was gone, much like Baltimore. This is my point. Does that seem like an idiotic thing to say as opposed to just go win a Super Bowl? Maybe. Or maybe that's how John Harbaugh views it. Maybe he does. Maybe that's appealing to him. I'm not him. I don't know. But I could see it being appealing to him.
I think if he was 40, maybe. I think when you're 62... and you've already won a Super Bowl,
yeah.
I think you're, and I'm just guessing, I think you're more interested in winning another Super Bowl than getting credit for revitalizing a franchise, right? Like,
maybe.
Do you think Bill Parcells has greater or fonder memories of rebuilding the Jets or winning a Super Bowl with the Giants?
Yeah, but that was his first job, was
right?
winning a Super Bowl with the Giants.
Right.
Then he left, and he didn't really stick around, so he's a different kind of cat.
I think it's about winning, though.
Yeah, no.
I don't think there's merit to, like, if you told me that John Harbaugh comes to New York, coaches the Giants, and they average 11 wins in the 7 years. Yeah. He's head coach. They go to the playoffs every year but one. Mm-hmm. They get to one NFC championship game, and they don't win the Super Bowl. But he leaves the cupboard full, and he gets all the credit for bringing the Giants back to life, but does not win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Versus you go to a ready-made situation like Philly or Buffalo, and yes, you do win a Super Bowl, but nobody gives you the credit for building it.
Yeah.
I think I'm taking the Super Bowl.
I think that's probably true, but you make it seem as if the he goes into the Giants situation assuming he won't win the Super Bowl. Like, the Giants could do, he could have everything. He could have the Super Bowl championship and building up the organization. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah, in the next 2 or 3 years, it's better for Buffalo. But you see the rest of that roster? Mm-hmm. The second Josh Allen takes a step backwards, that team's not nearly what
it was. I agree with that. So, let's take a quick break because they tell me that my main man, Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, is in the building and ready to rock. So quick break, and Rob Manfred in studio right after this. All right, 4:23. Welcome back to the Carton Show with Big Mac, of course, and very happy to have a dear friend of mine and one of the most powerful men in sports, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. Happy New Year to you. I know it's late, but I very much appreciate you coming down and giving us some time today.
Well, glad to do it. Always happy to see you.
Yeah, that's Chris McMonagle, diehard Yankee
that's
fan.
That's right.
Diehard Yankee fan.
We were just talking about it. I was trying to give him tips for helping making sure we get another championship.
All right. You know, it's funny, just to start off with the Yankees, something that Chris and I talked about yesterday. He's upset that there's not more action post-World Series, spring training and whatnot. And I didn't realize that, I guess, the last time you guys negotiated the CBA, you tried to put a deadline in, which I suggested to Chris yesterday, as a way to have some action and excitement for the free agency period. Kind of walk me through that.
Well, we're going to be good. I'm with Chris on this one.
We need to pick it up.
The proposal really was not about trying to alter the terms of deals one direction or another. I'm kind of a believer in you have a deadline. You know, you're going to make the same deal, give or take, you know,
right,
if you string it out. I think the reason I was interested in, I think that, like, from the 1st of December to the 20th, if we had a period in there when all that free agency activity went on, it's a great marketing opportunity for the game at a point in the calendar when, you know, you're not quite in the NFL playoffs, you know, the NBA is still kind of early, and, you know, it's a great chance to kind of own some off-season weeks, right, which is crucial to selling season tickets. So that's why I was interested.
Do you have I'm going to ask you a question. I know it's hard for you to answer because how can you possibly put yourself in the brains of the players and the union reps?
Yeah.
But was there a legitimate reason from them why they were opposed to it?
Yeah. I mean, what they said back, I can only tell you what they said. Yeah. I don't know what was in their heads, but what they said back was they thought that kind of deadline would work to the disadvantage of the players. And, you know, I don't put much credence in this. Let's face it. On both sides of these negotiations, there's really sophisticated people who negotiate for a living all the time. You tell them whatever the hell the rules are, it's all going to turn out the same, no matter what they're,
right,
you know, I mean, it's the money's the money is the money. So, but that's what they said. But I do think it is something that would help the game in terms of maintaining interest during the offseason.
Yeah, no, coming off that World Series, to have the winter meetings be lifeless is disappointing as a fan.
I agree.
I can tell you. So is that something that you could see being re-brought up? I've heard things as much like, you know, maybe a trade deadline, other kind of deadline set around that baseball winter meeting.
Yeah, I think there's going to be I think there's going to be some more conversation about it because I do believe that there's a marketing opportunity. And, you know, let's face it, we operate in a really competitive environment. Just put entertainment generally to one side. Just sports, right? Mm-hmm. It's really competitive. And I think that you make a mistake, particularly during the off season, when you don't take every advantage to push your sport out in front of your fans during that down period.
You know, you're coming off one of the greatest postseasons in recent memory, and specifically one of the great World Series in recent memory. And we're trying to figure out, like, how do you capitalize off of that? But also brought to mind the fact that there's a lot of people in a lot of cities that love baseball that are now uber concerned that because of the Dodgers' financial capabilities and, frankly, the fact that they arguably have the best general manager in baseball and a very smart front office, so they make very shrewd baseball moves, that there's the danger of them becoming, you know, a 3, 4, 5, you know, 6, 7, you know, consecutive World Series type of franchise, which I know it might not be possible the way the sport's played. They were damn near close to losing the World Series this past year. I think sports needs villains. I think having a team or two in either league that are dominant is good overall for the sport because it's okay to root against somebody also, right? Mm-hmm. Are you concerned, though, in the manner in which the Dodgers have done some of these deals with all this deferred money and their ability to just restock every single year?
Yeah, look, I let me say this. I admire what the Dodger organization has done on both sides of the house. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job on the revenue side, and they've made great baseball decisions.
Right.
And, you know, getting those two together is harder than you think. And everything they've done completely within the rules, and a large market like the Dodgers does drive your business. I mean, there's no, you know, whether you say large market, villain, whatever, a team that's winning a lot can drive the market. I think the advantage baseball has is a very random sport. And, you know, the chances of stringing that many together, I think, are fairly limited. But I do get concerned. You know, we try to listen to our fans, and we do hear from fans in a lot of markets that, you know, gee whiz, when we look at the resources they have compared to the resources that are available in our market, we don't feel like it's quite a fair shake. And that's an issue we're going to have to deal with.
So what keeps you asleep more at night? The prospect of the Dodgers being a super team or the reality that there are still some franchises that are unwilling to get into the game and spend the type of money that it seems like you have to spend to be just competitive?
Yeah, I want to quibble with one word, unwilling.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think unable is really a better word. But having said that, I worry more about the latter. And I worry more about the latter because I think when you have a 162-game season, you have to think all the time and listen to your fans when they're saying, we don't feel like we have a chance to compete.
Right.
Because when people feel like they don't have a chance to compete, they check out on you.
Yeah, I mean, and you say unwilling, and we argue unwilling, and I get it, but like the Pittsburgh Pirates just signed their first multi-year contract in years. It's hard to tell a fan base, I'll be honest with you, it's hard to tell a fan base that the Pittsburgh Pirates are incapable of competing at a higher level at that. Is there any way we can start incentivizing some of these teams to spend more?
Yeah, look, I think that the question of incentivization is a really important one. You know, I think probably the, you know, three other sports have dealt with it by having a rule. You got to spend, you know, everybody talks about the cap piece. The cap piece comes with another piece that, you know, where you have to spend. And I think, you know, mandating a certain level of commitment in terms of spending in the right kind of economic system can be a good thing.
Yeah.
That brings us to the obvious question, the one I'm sure you've been asked about a million times. People that cover the sport seem like it's a fait accompli. We get one more year of baseball, and then we're all in trouble, right? There's going to be a stoppage, whatever you want to call it, or a strike, a lockout, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Right, whatever. It doesn't matter what you call it. The end result is
no
the
baseball.
Same. Where are you right now, and you know the folks that make up your think tank and your trusted advisors with baseball and the relationship you have with the union representatives, do you think that is a reality, and do you think you guys can get to the table enough times to maybe work something out or even, you know, push back, you know, extend the CBA while negotiating? What do you think about that?
Look, I do think there has been a rush to negativity by a lot of the media that covers
Well, the last
sport.
One was pretty ugly. And it went pretty long.
But that was Max Scherzer's fault. He's going to be around for the next one.
And there was multiple times where we thought we were missing games. So, I mean,
look, here's the thing. You know, I came inside at baseball in 1998. We have always played through 5 or 6 rounds of bargaining. We have always played 162 games. Okay. All I can tell you is that when I came My goal was to make sure that every time we bargained, we played 162, and that's my goal this time around. We haven't even started the process. Right. And candid conversation about, you know, we see things that, you know, need to be addressed. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make this proposal or that proposal. I think we have to wait and see how things unfold at the table. We got lots and lots of time to work on it. And the most important thing for fans is certainly my goal to make sure that we played 162 sure. games next year.
Talking to Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, I know one of the things for a fact that keeps all the commissioners awake at night are the potential for a gambling scandal and the mm-hmm. integrity of the game being called into question.
Right.
You guys have dealt with it a few times already this past year, where a couple guys have been suspended. Obviously, the Ohtani story played itself out about a year ago now mm-hmm. with his interpreter. How concerned are you about gambling getting to a place where it's uncontrollable and you have guys making the types of decisions that some of your players have been accused of making? Now, they get their day in court, obviously. Yeah. But how concerned are you about gambling and having a gambling scandal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, integrity is number one on every commissioner's concern list. And, when you have problems, and we have had
yep.
some issues, it heightens that concern. I do think that there are things that can be done, I kind of feel like we saw this one coming. There's certain types of bets that are really
yes.
problematic.
I yes.
mean, when you have a bet that's in the control of one player and the event that they're betting on really has yeah. no relation to the ultimate outcome of
right.
the game.
Like, are you going to throw a ball or strike?
Yeah, yeah, that's what they're dealing with yeah. right now. Yeah. First pitch of the game at bat, first pitch of an inning.
So I think that, you know, we had no legal betting. You know, we got a lot of legal betting yeah. now. I think that there probably should be a little swing back regulation.
Let me stop you and ask you a question. Do you, and I just don't know the answer, and obviously I'm a responsible gaming ambassador for FanDuel. I spoke to every NBA rookie at the symposium this year and have offered the same, as you know, to all the leagues just from my life experience. Can you guys dictate to the legal books, hey, listen, appreciate the partnership. It's made the game more popular. I can make that argument. I think that's a fact to mm-hmm. say that. Can you dictate to the leagues or to the gambling companies, we no longer want you to offer in-game wagering or those types of wages you're talking about?
Yeah, we actually have worked with all the sports books to limit the prop bets, no parlays involved right. with them, only small dollar amounts to limit the prospect for
the exposure.
Yeah,
right.
exposure. And, you know, we try to work with them as partners to get to the right spot. As you can imagine, in-game is a very broad category where
sure.
a lot of money gets wagered, and it does relate to the engagement issues. But what I started to say is I do think you're going to see kind of a move back, and people are going to be a little more rational about what bets ought to be offered. I also think the other place you're going to, just in terms of how pervasive, and we've tried to be careful about that, pervasive in terms of getting into the middle of broadcasts and
right.
and whatnot.
Yeah. So you are concerned. There's
yeah,
a
yeah.
level of concern. Yeah, that's fair to say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, off of that, because with gambling is also bad calls.
Right.
Right. And so we've had a kind of, or you've had a referee issue, an umpire issue for a while. And this year they're going to be implementing the replay with the
balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm. Where are we with that? Are we looking at, like, kind of how far along the line before we get just full automatic? Where are we with just calling the replay? Where do we see the replay system going for balls and strikes?
Well, I think that this year it's going to be a challenge system.
Two challenges a game.
Yeah, two challenges.
But the challenge is only pitcher, batter, catcher.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you're right, you keep them. We tested it full every pitch. It works. I think that the challenge system is the right first step. And I also think it's consistent with our approach to replay. I think our game is such that you're never going to get everything perfect on the mm-hmm. field. That's an unattainable goal. What you want to do is have a system in place that allows the players an opportunity to correct the high leverage miss. And I think that the challenge system is that kind of system.
It's funny. I saw a poll. I'm not sure if it was a poll you guys did, just an internal poll or not, but it was a polling of players and fans, people that have bought a ticket to a game this past right. year on the ABS system. And it seemed overwhelmingly that the fans do not want full-time automated balls and strike calls. They like the challenge system, and they still want there to be an umpire calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, that is the fan polling, and it may be more important in my own thinking. You know, tons and tons of major league players have played with both systems in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. The players overwhelmingly preferred the challenge system. And, you know, I do think it's a pretty good rule of thumb when you're doing something on the field and you get that kind of an overwhelming response from players,
yeah.
that you ought to give a little credence to it. You know, that they've experienced it. They know what they're talking
sure.
about. And look, they have some legitimate concerns. If you go to ABS, every pitch, it will change the game. And this is one of the hard things about making changes in baseball in ways that people don't think about. So, for example, if ABS is calling every pitch, the framing catcher, you know, the guy who's
right.
not that great offensive player, but, you know, he's great behind the plate. He gets a lot of
right.
calls, by the way.
A lot of value in it right now.
That guy
goes away.
Becomes he's done. Huh. That guy's job goes away.
Right.
And then you got to think the next step. Who goes back there? He probably, you know, a more offensive-minded player.
Right.
And that's got a series of ramifications associated with it. Now, more offensive, they might be a good thing. But I'm just saying, you know, when you make a change like that, you got to think all the way through these unforeseen examples.
Let me go back to the union for 1 second. Just sure. a thought appeared in my mind. If the union is telling you steadfastly, we will never agree to a cap, but you guys collectively think a cap's the only way for success, future success financially for the sport, you still sit down and talk about it, right? At a negotiation. Does it become a deal breaker? Like, we can't get a CBA done if there's no movement on that?
That's a Tony Clark question. You know, I mean, it really is. I have never, and, you know, really, until I got elected commissioner, all I did was labor relations. That's
right.
how I made my living. I've never been in a negotiation where before the first piece of paper went across the table, I or anyone I represented was out there saying, this we absolutely will not talk about. I just think it's a hard way to begin a negotiation.
I think you guys have done a good job for the sport, something that I think baseball struggled with for a long time, even predating you, where baseball was always really good at honoring its past, its legacy, the great players of the past, and not great making current great players household names and making them so they can't walk down Fifth Avenue without being noticed. And it seems like this past year, that turned dramatically in a good way.
This has been a multi-year effort and focus for us. And, you know, sometimes you get lucky. Things come together in a way.
Well, you had a guy named the Big Dumper.
Who doesn't love that? And you know what? You make my first point. We are lucky. We have an unbelievably appealing, talented group of players in the game right now. I mean, just great personalities, great, great players, you know, have accomplished unbelievable things very, very early in their career, number one. Number two, this generation of players is a little different. You know, they are much more social media savvy, much more, you know, attuned to the idea that they're a brand and that brand has value to them and that they work with us and
right.
at the idea of promoting themselves. And we have tried to develop programs that make it easy. We have a huge social media program that makes it really easy for players to post highlights and comment on them because we think that drives fandom and it gives our fans something that our research tells us really important, the ability to see the player beyond what they see on the field. So
talking to Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball, World Baseball Classic this year. Yankee fans are not thrilled that Aaron Judge is participating in it because of Edwin Diaz a couple years ago getting hurt.
I mean, that's the concern
right?
of it, right? I mean, that's still the concern. The time of year, I suppose, I don't know if there's a better time to do it right before the season. Gives guys as much time possible to recover from injury, but that's the concern of it. It does bring a lot of excitement, but the the baseball fans' concern is we saw devastating injuries to players, and we know baseball, unfortunately, especially pitchers, ramping up, you know, their workload early to go take on these very competitive games. And to the credit of the tournament, it feels like it's ramping up in its competition. USA's really brought a lot of players to the team this year. I think that would be the concern, that these young pitchers especially, ramping up their arms, getting ready for to play playoff-type atmosphere games.
Well, I would say...
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
There is nothing stronger than the notion of nationalism and mm-hmm. sport when you're trying to grow something internationally. The WBC, one of the biggest events in Japan, a big part of the growth that we've seen. And so when you're trying to grow the game and try to grow the game internationally, it's really, really hard to ignore the power of nationalism and sport, the combination, number one. Number two, you got to remember, these are professional athletes. There are limitations in the WBC rules that are designed to protect players. While I can't say we've had no injuries, our injury record in the WBC actually pretty darn good. You know, I mean, the Diaz thing, obviously very unfortunate, got a lot of attention because
sure.
it was during
a celebration.
Yeah, it wasn't even during the game.
No, right. I mean, I think everyone understands it's a fluke. But yeah, he's in a position to put himself in a fluke injury, but it is a fluke injury.
And I think that as the event has matured, there's a lot more kind of direct control by the clubs in terms of what's happening, particularly with pitching. You know, there's conversation back and forth, for example, with the U.S. team between Mark DeRosa and who's ever responsible for pitching on the team where the pitcher's coming from, making sure that what we're doing with them in the WBC is consonant with their plan for getting the pitcher ready. So we're trying to take every precaution, but the more positive note, and really,
sure. I think it's great.
This is going to be one of the best baseball tournaments ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to really be.
And by the way,
something.
I was saying to him earlier today, the fan reaction, because, you know, Latin American fans, you know, and music and drums and dancing, and I'm jealous of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like every one of these games is an event.
Yeah.
And you feel like I'm missing out because I'm not at the event. You know what I mean?
The atmosphere in the ballpark in Miami. The last WBC.
It was awesome.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and no one ever goes to watch baseball games down there. It's a thrill to see that stadium.
We just
saw that.
You know, here's a different one. We just saw the NBA, they begin this in-season tournament.
The Emirates Cup.
Has there ever been a consideration of doing some sort of in-season baseball tournament with the 162?
We talk about all of those kinds of... talk about them as format changes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about split seasons. We've talked about in-season in tournaments. We do understand that 162 is a long pull. I think the difficulty, to accomplish those sort of in-season events, you almost inevitably start talking about fewer regular season games. And, you know, that is a much more complicated thing in our sport than it is in other sports.
Because of the records.
All of our season-long records,
changes.
You're playing around with something that people care a lot about.
No, I know. And most fans differ. For me, if you say they need to change the games, I go 163. I mean, that's me. I'm the kind of baseball fan that says that. Yeah. But there definitely is. And I want to ask you about realignment, right? Mm-hmm. We got possible expansion and realignment coming up. Where are we with the expansion idea? And then with realignment, can Yankee fan and Met fans, and this would be great for us, can we envision a time where Yankees and Mets are in the same division? What does that mean for American League, National League? We just talked about the tradition of baseball. Like, how dramatic of this expansion and realignment could change the game?
Yeah, so let's start with first of all, I would like to expand. I think 32 would be good for us. And, you know, fundamentally, it's just it's a lot of cities like to have Major League Baseball. When people want your product, you ought to try to, you know, find a way to sell it to them. Right. It's kind of basic, number one. Number two, it does a ton of for us from a format perspective. You would realign. You would do it along geographic lines, which would alleviate, could alleviate a ton of the travel burden that's on players. Remember, we ask our players 162 times in 186 days. So most of the play between 162 and 186, travel, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so you can eliminate a lot of that travel, make it less burdensome, which would be a great thing in terms of player health and safety. And if you play geographically, we get in a postseason. You know, we have those four window days that I love, right? You get four baseball games in a day. It's awesome. But when you think about the fans in the individual markets, you always end up with, because of the way we're set up, you know, you get Boston versus Anaheim in one of the early rounds. So you're either going to be too late for the fans in Boston or too early. So if you realign geographically, you would look more like other sports where you play up east into the World Series and west into the World Series. And that 10 o'clock game on the West Coast that sometimes is a problem for us becomes a prime time game on the West Coast for the two teams that are playing. So there's a lot of advantages to it. I think if you did it, you'd probably be 8-4s, right? Okay. And I think you would try to keep the two team cities
separate.
You are. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Got it.
So they would not be in the same division.
Yeah. That would be my thinking. Now, a lot of water got to go over that dam.
And by the way, he ain't going to be commissioner for 20 more years either. He's going to give this problem to somebody else. By the way, I know you announced a couple years ago, I think you said 5 more years and that's a wrap for you. Yeah. The juices are still flowing, though. Yeah, you going to stick by that, and are you ready to?
Yeah, I'm done at the end. I'm done at the end of this contract. I've told them that, and I'm going to stick to it. I'll be 70 when I'm
done. So it's enough.
Yeah, it is enough.
Right.
You know,
grandkids want to spend more time with you, right?
Yeah, you know, look, I also think, you know, you have a certain period of time when you know you have things that you want to accomplish. You take your best shot. You try to get as much done as possible, and then you know it's sort of time for the next guy with his set of things. And I think that's healthy and good for the sport and the business.
I saw that you're bringing back Field of Dreams game this year, which was great. Yankees, of course, played it a few years back. Mm-hmm. But I'm asking a question I shouldn't really answer. I apologize. I don't. 250th anniversary of the country. A lot of big events in D.C. Obviously, MMA, UFC is going to have an event at the White House. Do you guys have, as the original national pastime, events in celebration of the country?
We do. We actually kicked off today. You know, the umbrella for our activities is we're going to donate 250,000 volunteer hours associated with baseball events over the course of this year.
Wow.
The centerpiece for us in terms of celebration will be the All-Star Game in Philadelphia. That's why we're going to be in Philadelphia. But we have a really elaborate marketing plan that involves every aspect of our business that will have a celebration component, celebration of the 250th anniversary of the country. And we're really excited about it. You know, we think that baseball has sort of a special place in American culture, and we're going all out on this one.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Final couple questions, we'll let you go. Appreciate your time. It dawned on me recently that baseball doesn't control its awards. Baseball Writers of America, they get to decide who's the Cy Young, who's the MVP. They own that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if along your time as commissioner of Major League Baseball, if you've ever thought of trying to change that, where baseball owns its own awards. It's very unique in that regard.
Yeah. We actually, the last 3 years, have done an event in Las Vegas, the All-MLB Awards.
Right.
You know, it's grown every single year. I think, you know, we had a great picture at the end this year. It was like 100-something players and former players on the stage at the end of the night. We have been working with the baseball writers. We'd love to have the awards that they own rolled into that celebration in Las Vegas. You know, the key to an event like that, kind of like everything you do in sports, is players. And we think, you know, we can put on a multi-day event in Las Vegas that would attract all the players that win awards. And again, apropos of what we started on today in terms of the signing deadline, you know, takes place right after the World Series, kind of builds on that World Series.
And televise it, make it a big deal.
It would be televised. Yeah. You know, the All MLB awards were on our network.
Right.
We'd like it there or somewhere else, obviously. But, like, we had a great golf tournament.
Golf was great. Turner actually broadcasted it in delay, but they showed it afterwards.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the players enjoyed doing that, too, because just former players, current players, et cetera.
Yeah, and which is a nice kind of generational thing. You know, there's a lot to the notion of generational shift in our game. You know, it gets passed on in families by generation, and we like the idea of, you know, CC Sabathia being out there with a current player, or, you know, any Hall of Fame, George Brett with a current Royal. We think there's really something there, and combining that with all of the big awards we think would be really good.
I know the fans here don't care about it. You do. You know, the recent development with the regional sports networks, not in New York, obviously, yes, is very healthy. SNY or Tehran, very healthy. But some of the middle America markets, not that healthy. And I know there's a bankruptcy filing, et cetera. Your concern for those other markets that fans want to be able to watch their favorite team locally, how do we save that for them?
Yeah, look, the best message for fans, put the money and all that. I can talk about that if you want. But the most important thing is that no matter what happens, Major League Baseball is in a position to put all of the games on locally and to make a digital streaming product available in market for those fans.
So they will never miss a game.
I mean, remember, 2 years ago, there was a bankruptcy filing. San Diego, they pulled the plug on them. We put them up in one day. There was never a game missed.
Right.
So, you know, we are prepared, even if all nine end up without
the games will be televised some manner.
MLB will have them. They will be available on cable in the markets, and there will be a digital alternative.
Here's the toughest question I'm going to ask you. When you read the story yesterday, like I read and Big Mac read, that the Las Vegas Athletics got denied their trademark application for both Las Vegas Athletics and Vegas Athletics because somebody else got it first. Do you beat your, like, what do you do when you hear that?
I read it, and, you know, I read, asked some questions afterwards. Of all the things that happened yesterday that I was kind of sweating bullets about, that one
that
will
was
get handled, okay? That one will get handled.
Someone's trying to check. And a final thing for you, and then you'll Big Mac jump in, of course. Look, your tenure is going to come to an end sooner than later.
Yep.
Attendance is up. Ratings are up.
Yeah.
Sport is very healthy. The pitch clock might be the single most important change the sport has had in the last century. Mm-hmm. Baseball fans might argue with me on that, but it's changed the dynamic of the sport.
The overtime one, people, the extra inning one, people have a problem
with. Yeah, for sure, so in a positive way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It made the sport for a lot of people more watchable,
right.
And I think the numbers, you know, belie that. You know, guys, when they leave positions at your level, do talk about, around retirement, about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you've contemplated that at all.
Yeah, I thought about it. You know, legacy's for dead guys.
Well, you're not dead.
I'm not ready to be dead yet, so.
Good. All right, so first of all, if you were going to write your own eulogy, like, what do you want people to, when they say Rob Manfred, what do you want the thought to be about what you meant to the game of baseball?
Yeah, I hope that people accept the fact that while I, you know, there were changes that not everybody loved. You know, you're never going to make it. That what we did and what we continue to do is we listened to our fans and we tried to make the game better for our fans. Every single day when I go to work, I try to, you know, take a minute at the beginning of the day and think, remember, it's about the fans. You know, you can worry about the money, really worry about all the issues that you got to deal with. At the end of the day, it's about the fans. If you get the fans right, you get momentum surrounding the sport, which we are enjoying right now, that you can't buy. You know, you absolutely can't buy.
And speaking of momentum, I do just want to ask you one last question about the idea of a cap. I feel like I have to. The momentum of the World Series, everything, where the sport is, to go into it, we're all very fearful. You talked about the negativity before it's even started. And I think it's because you mentioned the players have this hard set rule that they've begun negotiation with. This isn't something we can address. We have the owner here with the Yankees talking about openly being up for voting positive for a salary cap. Like, with the understanding of the hard battle that that would be, I think that's where the fans really are concerned. Is this the CBA agreement, the war of the salary cap? Like, is that how we could look at it? Or is that too narrow a minded view of the overall CBA? And is it that much of a dead issue that we feel like we're going to be going back and forth for no reason about?
Look, I the way I think about it is this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge positive working force right now, and you alluded to it. When you have momentum like we have, that you've worked as hard as we have to get, you know, that is a force that, you know, puts people in a frame of mind that they should understand they need to make an agreement, okay? I don't think about the despite that momentum, we have a couple of issues that we hear about from our fans all the time. Blackouts and the perception that some teams are not competitive.
Right.
We got to address those issues. How we figure out a way to address those issues is the challenge of the bargaining process, and jumping to the idea that it's going to be salary cap, no salary cap, is a premature thing to do. We got to maintain the momentum we all understand we have. Mm-hmm. I think we need to address those two issues, and I think we'll figure out a way to do it.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming on. Every show I've ever done, you've been gracious enough to come in person. You know, I love you for that and appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to another great season of baseball, and can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today.
You know why I come in person, right?
Go ahead.
Okay, I come in person because I think one of the sort of grassroots, nobody knows about, most fun things we ever did was Make-A-Wish softball games. No, I'm not going to get into the movie. I swear to you, I'm not going to, okay? I will not get into that.
You brought Jenny Finch into pitch.
But you got to admit, those were fun evenings.
It was great.
Win, lose, or draw. It was a nice community thing.
I wish we could do it again.
It was great for our employees. You get your gang together.
Done.
I'll get my ringers together, and we'll see how we do. Okay?
Hold on. So give me your word. If I put together a team, a celebrity team, you'll get an MLB team together.
Uh-huh.
We'll do it for Make-A-Wish, 100%.
100%.
And we'll do it this summer.
100%. Done. We're in.
Now, let me just tell people that haven't heard the story yet. The first time we played this game, it was up in Westchester, okay? And we're looking at a bunch of middle-aged guys from Major League Baseball, and Boom and I are like, oh, we got these guys. Because we played a lot of softball back then, okay? And we're all warming up, and this is going to be an easy win for us, okay? All of a sudden, a bus pulls up. The Dominican Junior National Team gets off the bus. We lost 35-1.
Yeah.
Year two, Jenny Finch is a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So, game on, Commish.
Let's go.
We'll pick a date that works in the summer.
In my defense, I told you then, I'll tell you, everybody on that bus got a W-2 for Major League Baseball.
That's Rob Manfred, everybody. We'll do that game up in Westchester again this summer. And, you know, I appreciate you. And thanks for spending some minutes with us today.
Great to see you both. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Quick break. Back after this.